Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In mere hours, MLS is supposed to get back on the field with the first of its games as part of its MLS is Back tournament, but it has been a disaster. Actually, ranging from dramatic to disastrous so far for MLS. They've had delayed testing, and so they've had to postpone games that were scheduled for the next couple of days because they don't have the test results in time. They, too, are creating a bubble in Orlando, and there's supposed to be a World Cup-style tournament, but they've got players speaking out themselves and saying it's stupid to try to return right now in the midst of coronavirus cases spiking. And that is a big concern for me. If the athletes aren't all in, it's not going to work because they really form the majority of the responsibility. They're carrying it. It falls on their shoulders. They're the ones who are really in the lurch when it comes to the health and safety protocols, the nonstop testing. Yes, coaches have to go through it. Yes, staff and personnel have to go through it. But it's different for the athletes because they're the ones who are doing the work out there on the field or the court or the ice. And they're the ones, of course, whose lives have been completely uprooted if they're moving to these bubbles in Orlando or in Edmonton and Toronto. I guess there are the select group of athletes who don't have to leave their markets, which is kind of cool. But for MLS, it seems to me that if you don't have the majority of your people who are positive and excited and looking forward to it and are hopeful and are willing to give it the old college try, willing to give it a go with everything they've got, then you've already got yourself a problem. We know that Dallas FC pulled out because of a rash of cases, and they're not exactly sure how it happened, not exactly sure how these guys could get on a plane and be negative, and then somehow they get tested in Orlando and there's an outbreak. Again, it takes everybody being all in, but the tournament is scheduled to begin 8:00 Eastern time in Orlando Wednesday evening. Orlando City is supposed to face Inter Miami. There was another game that was scheduled that's been postponed again because there have been delays in testing results and because they can't put anybody in the bubble until they're for sure that everybody is negative. So it's been pretty dramatic. And whether or not we hear about the drama, and with the NBA and Major League Baseball, we certainly do hear more of it. It's been nary a peep, really, from the NHL. But whether or not we hear about it, it's definitely boiling behind the scenes. And I feel like there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of tension. Even if there is confidence, even if there is excitement, you have these competing emotions. And this is really the critical stage for all of these sports right now to get the athletes and the teams in place where they can start fresh. Theoretically, get into these bubbles, get into these hub cities. Everybody's clean. Everybody's virus free. And then you can start. But it's easier said than done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's part of our Hump Show on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And P.S., if your question is wildly inappropriate, you will get blocked. If you can't come up with an appropriate question, then probably better to stay off of social media. Or, hey, if you feel the need to quote Hitler, especially a fake one, you probably should stay off social media as well. We didn't have a chance to talk about this story on last night's show or this DeSean Jackson mess on the last show because I was wrapped up. We were wrapped up in quarterbacks and Patrick Mahomes, and I liked it that way. It was great. It was great to have one show that was more positive and more quote-unquote normal. But DeSean Jackson has certainly been in the news for all the wrong reasons over the past couple of days. And every single time I hear of an athlete using his social media like this and not thinking it through or having someone else read it first, have someone else give him an opinion or advice or her. There are obviously athletes of both genders. I don't get it. I've said this a lot on my show. I've said this when I do interviews on other shows around the country, when I'm invited as a guest. Public figures operate with a different set of rules on social media. The guy or gal who has 8 followers, who's a troll, who uses inappropriate language, who says racist things, anti-Semitic messages, quoting a fake Hitler, whatever that is, for a person who has 8 followers, the reach is extremely limited. For DeSean Jackson, not so much. And for the life of me, I can't figure out how these guys don't learn from those other athletes and public figures who trip up and fall into a hole they created before them. The whole do as I say, not as I do, something it was just my parents, but I think it's cliche for a reason. Why is it that some of these public figures can't learn from the people who made the mistakes before them? And I also have zero clue why you'd ever quote Hitler, even if it is a fake Hitler, which makes you look even dumber. This is just a dumb mistake by DeSean Jackson. And he doubled down on it. Even when the initial backlash happened, the wave of criticism, he decided he wasn't done stating his opinions and quoting fake Hitler. Also, who the heck comes up with fake Hitler quotes? I mean, that's a rhetorical question that has no answer, but gross. Anyway, for, I guess part of it is that people don't always know their history. If you don't know the history of Hitler, well, I'll let you go ahead and read up on it yourself. But it's hard for me to understand how a minority, of which DeSean Jackson is one, as an African-American, could in any way want to quote a guy who was about supremacy for a particular race and wiping out another race that he felt threatened by. I mean, it would seem to me, and this is just my opinion, that other minorities would be able to empathize with a situation and a plight that was the Holocaust, that was Hitler's goal, which, I mean, it's not something, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because it's depressing and it's painful and it's awful and there's no way to come out of that. But for DeSean Jackson, I guess it doesn't make any sense to me at all why you would even evoke the name. Why? Even if you don't know the history very well, even if you don't recognize what Hitler's goal was, even if you are completely uninformed, his is one of those names that you should steer clear of always on social media, fake or real. And then to not know it's a fake Hitler quote, oy, so many things wrong with this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As you can imagine, you don't even need to imagine, but it wouldn't take much imagination anyway. You have both the team owner of the Eagles, so DeSean Jackson, now with his second stint with Philadelphia, you have the team owner of the Eagles and their general manager, who are both Jewish. Again, talk about being deaf, blind, and dumb. Talk about being completely unaware about the guys who signed your contract and brought you on board. The guys who sign your checks. And I'll let you hear what DeSean said in his apology, but honestly, I don't know if the apology is any better. I mean, he said it, so we'll play it, but it's a little late now to claim that, you know, there's no hatred or no negative opinion of any sort against the Jewish community or against the Jewish race in general. So DeSean, of course, was called on the carpet by his own team. Obviously, that was going to happen. The Eagles are embarrassed and have issued statements. Carson Wentz reached out to DeSean. Obviously, various organizations, specifically in Philadelphia, have made their feelings known and demanded an apology. And I'm hoping that's not why DeSean actually apologized. I'm hoping this was something he realized he had to do even before anyone demanded it.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to, you know, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because, you know, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of times when the offense is so egregious, the apologies really do come across as weak, as insufficient, and that's real. That's it's just hard to make up for the hurt and the offense that you cause with a few words and an apology. It's more about his actions that would come next, and he did say that the apology is a promise to do better. I think that there are steps he can take, and it sounds like he is taking them. He's going to work with the Jewish community. I mean, he's been invited to do so. His camp has already reached out to a couple of local organizations. And certainly the education is the most important part, because it's clear that DeSean was not educated on, I guess, the whole philosophy and approach and goal of Adolf Hitler. And really, again, I have no idea why he was popping off. But for him, he said, you know, there was a completely different point to what he was putting out there on social media.
Probably should have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And, you know, I was just trying to uplift, you know, African-Americans and slavery and, you know, just enlighten my people.
It's a little bit odd to hear him. I've listened to that portion of his, I think it was on Instagram, listened to that portion of his Instagram apology a couple of times. And every time he says uplift, I'm reeling. If that was your goal, people think differently. Not everyone has to think like me, but I don't know how you get uplifting out of quoting Hitler or, yeah, talking about anything that has to do with genocide or wiping out an entire race. It just is, yeah, it's, I mean, I agree with the statement of the Eagles. I think the word, one of the words that they used in their statement is so appropriate. It's appalling. It really is. It's jarring to the system. And I don't know what happens with DeSean. I don't. I mean, as I say, he has offended two people who make all the important decisions about the team. And the team has indicated it will take, and I'll put my air quotations out there, appropriate action. I don't know how much time Jackson has to be able to make good on his promise to do better. I don't know if they're going to give him that opportunity. I don't know what type of backlash. I mean, to this point, I haven't heard anything like, you know, corporations pulling out, not sponsoring the Eagles, you know, working with the Eagles, whatever, whatever. But I wouldn't be surprised. It makes me sad. I mean, I'm not Jewish, but this makes me sad for two reasons. That A, he could say something like what he did, and I'm not going to read it. You can go Google it if you want to. That he could put out on social media what he did more than once, actually. I mean, he, like I said, he got the criticism initially, and then he doubled down on it. It makes me sad that he could do that with so utter disregard for the people that are affected by what he has to say, and to not know, to be so ignorant that you don't even understand that you're offending the people that pay your that write your checks and that brought you on board. I mean, that just, it makes me sad that he was so I don't know. I mean, I guess my only thought is that he must not know. He must not be completely aware of what Adolf Hitler was all about. That's the only thing I can come up with. I can't imagine anyone would be this cruel on purpose, not publicly, when you know that you've put it out there on social media. I mean, it's cruel and it's mean and it's beyond offensive. And especially as someone who's an African-American who right now is part of a community that, you know, that is fighting to be treated equally. I know color of skin is one thing, but there should be equal treatment for anyone of a particular ethnicity or culture or background. I mean, when we're talking Jewish, you obviously can be talking religion, but you, much broader scope, you're talking about ethnicity and culture and birth, and people no more control that they are Jewish than he controls that he's Black. And I just, it's again, the idea, it makes me sad that anybody would brand an entire people group the way that his post did. But also, it makes me sad that sometimes public figures, it seems like, I know they're more often than not, there's responsibility from public figures on social media, but they just keep stepping in it. It seems like every other day we have someone who steps in it so badly. I wish for Deshaun, and really for anybody who's in a place of public prominence where you have a platform like this, ask someone before you post if you're not sure. Reach out to someone who can give you an unbiased opinion, or someone who loves you who will say to you, nope, not a good idea. I generally stay pretty far back of the line because, especially on social media, words can be taken out of context. They can be misinterpreted. I mean, it's the same way with text messages. It's not unique to social media, but it's why I don't fight a lot of battles, quote unquote, on social media, because it's impossible to really get your message and your feelings across with 280 characters. And so I generally stand pretty far back from the line. I mean, I've said this before, but my first responsibility is to CBS Sports Radio. My first responsibility is to my employer with my social media. Yeah, it's personal, but everything that I put on social media reflects the company and reflects the network and reflects the show. And so I'm pretty careful, really careful, actually. But also, I don't understand why you would ever want to hurt or offend or just label an entire people group with no regard for the impact of your words. I mean, it's hard to understand. I just, even if that's how you feel, keep it off friggin' social media. If nothing else, keep your ill-informed, uneducated, racist, discriminatory opinions to yourself and don't put them on social media. I mean, I'm not stupid enough or naive enough to believe we're all kumbaya and everybody gets along perfectly, but heavens, how hard is it to keep it off social media? Goodness. I feel bad for him because I just think he went into this completely uneducated, but also his desire to fight back and his desire to not be told how he should handle his own social media, that got him into more trouble. I mean, he posted it again. So Deshaun Jackson, not sure that there's any way this disappears anytime soon. Football's not going to bail you out anytime soon. You can find us on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or really our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And we'll do that coming up next hour. Plus, about 40 minutes from now, conversation with Nelson Figueroa, longtime baseball relief pitcher and a guy who now works for the dark side, you know, as an analyst. But really interesting thoughts from him about the emotions that athletes are going through right now as they get ready to step on the field in this weird and wacky season.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And it's sponsored by Geico. Wait, hold on. I got this. Okay. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? I want an RV. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. In the meantime, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything just over an hour away. And Dave will pick the questions. Producer Chris will field the questions. And we'll answer those. We'll try to cram in as many as we possibly can. Again, that's coming up just over an hour from now. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, that's where we take the questions. And remember, there's a sort of qualification to it. Ask Amy Anything, sort of. Dan is listening in Atlanta. Dan, welcome to After Hours. Dan.
Dennis.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Dennis, no. Welcome to After Hours.
No, it's all good. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just was curious, I mean, just for your input on it. I know the NBA, NHL, MLB, they're very concerned about the players, obviously, because they're the ones at risk, obviously. But the NFL has said that they're going to allow a limited amount of fans to come into stadiums for games. They're going to be asked to sign waivers. But what if, and I know they're not going to be held liable legally, but what if you start seeing fans with that paper trail that starts to test positive, like a rate of fans that are attending NFL games? The NFL is going to have to do something to address that.
I don't know if I agree with you, Dennis. I'm not sure I do. Isn't that the point of a waiver? And I don't mean to be callous. You know, I hope that's not the case. But, A, there would be lots of guidelines in place. So you likely would only be able to sit with the people that you came in with, right? You wouldn't theoretically be anywhere near other people, especially if we're talking about only a few thousand fans in a stadium that normally hosts, I don't know, 65 or 70,000. And so you're supposed to be keeping your distance. They would obviously require masks. They would probably have done a deep cleaning in the stadium. The whole point of a waiver is that you might come in with the virus and that you might infect other people. But I don't know how, if you sign a waiver, you can say that's the NFL's fault. Now, could the NFL turn around and decide, okay, it's not worth it? And we know the NFL is supremely concerned about image and PR. So could the league decide it's not worth it because we don't want to be blamed? We don't want this to be a PR nightmare for us. Absolutely. But if the NFL has done everything to be diligent about this, and again, has gone through the deep cleaning, has set up protocols, has made sure that fans are spaced out, and fans have agreed to sign a waiver and show up. A, I don't know how there could be a massive outbreak if the fans are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if they're not, of course, then the NFL would shut it down anyway. But also, if they sign that waiver, that piece of paper, how do you blame the league then?
I'm not trying to blame the league. I'm saying.
No, like I just meant, I didn't mean you. I meant you in general, yeah. Like you people. Yeah, yeah. How do people blame the league?
It's exactly like you said, people will blame the league because social media, they're going to automatically say, oh, the NFL, they didn't do it. You know, they're going to blame it on them, even though the NFL is just trying to give the fans something they're trying to give people sports. But you know, people are automatically going to blame it. If something does happen, you might even just have a few cases and they're going to say, oh, they didn't do it right. They didn't do this. They should have done that. You know,
social media is a cesspool and it's not real. It's not social and it's definitely not actual media. And so while I agree with you that it's a mob mentality and that people could complain and scream and yell, the NFL can get out in front of it by making it very clear what fans have to do to show up by saying, okay, it's your choice. And I don't know that the league will do this. I honestly don't. Because they don't want to put... They don't want to put security personnel or coaches or players at risk. I think they recognize, as does everyone else, but as do the, you know, the owners, that if the players go through an outbreak, then you're in trouble. Then your league is in trouble. Why take the risk? But, I mean, the NFL gets out in front of it by saying, okay, here's the waiver. In fact, putting the waiver out there so everyone can see it. We're going to take a certain number of fans. If you choose to come, you obviously have to follow this guideline and this guideline and this guideline. So the transparency is how the NFL gets out in front of it. And then, you know, if there is some type of an outbreak, a situation like what you're talking about, then the NFL would likely shut it down because it's not worth it to this, you know, the safety risk to their players. But I feel like if you're the NFL, you have this PR machine that can put you out in front of it before you would ever let even one person get into the stands.
It's like you said, they might get to the point where they're like, is it worth it if something does happen? But now you got to sit back and say, is it really worth it? They have these huge TV deals. Is it really worth it just to let a few thousand fans in? I mean, I know it sounds awesome for the few thousand that might get in there, but is it really worth it for the owners? They have these huge deals. I know they make money off the ticket sales and the concessions and everything, but is a few thousand fans really worth it?
Well, probably not if you're trying to keep the atmosphere as contained and controlled as possible. But I will say that if I was given the option, I mean, I'm not a typical fan. I don't normally attend games as a fan every now and then, but I would go. I mean, if they asked me to sign a waiver and I was going with one other person that I knew was virus free, I went to a small pool party on Saturday. I mean, I'm going to go out to eat outdoor dining coming up this weekend for the first time. I mean, I do believe that at least as much as I can control it, there are things that I can do to prevent getting the virus. And so I feel like there is something to be said for, you know, for allowing people to make that choice if that's what they want to do. But as you point out, the NFL would have a bit of a PR and logistical challenge on its hands to even get to that point.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I would go. Like, I'm being like trying to be unbiased. Like, I would go for, like, I would go tomorrow if they said there was a game at the Mercedes-Benz. I'm in Georgia, so I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's weird to me that they're willing to take that risk at this point.
Well, I don't know if they are. Have you heard something that I haven't? Because I don't think we're there yet.
Well, no, they're not. I mean, from what you're more knowledgeable than I am, but from what I've heard, it's just they're tentatively planning on letting a select amount of fans into games and making them sign waivers. So, I mean, they canceled the preseason, but...
Well, not yet. They haven't yet. The NFL is still hoping for two games. The NFLPA is kind of fighting back on that. So they're still at a bit of a stalemate there. I think that's more hopeful than it is planning, Dan. Dennis. Your name's still Dan up on the screen. Dennis. I feel like that right now that's wishful thinking. But far more important than that is just actually getting the season on the field and getting it kicked off. To me, that's a secondary issue and not even the stratosphere of them trying to get through camps and then to actually start the season on time.
Yeah, it's just crazy how much you take it for granted, like when you have it, and then when it's gone, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I totally agree, and that's why I've said new house rule. I don't care how freaking sloppy the football is, nobody's complaining. One person calls up and complains about the quality of football, and I'm going to eat their lunch. I mean, no one's complaining about football this year. It can be bad. They can all be 7-6 games, and we still better be thankful that we have football at all.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I hope.
Yes.
Like I said, it was just kind of a talking point, but I'm really, really excited though. I'm super excited. I hope we get something, but I just want everything to be safe. But like you said, they know what they're doing. It's just, I'm just excited.
Good. Me too. I am too. And I try to temper that, recognizing that there's a long way to go. But thanks, Dennis. I appreciate it. It's a good conversation.
Thank
nice to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. You have a good night.
Oh, So bad with names. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Major League Baseball schedule. We'll talk about that a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a good question that Dennis brings up. If you had the option, would you go? You yourself and the people around you, you only know deep down. I mean, deep down, whether or not you would follow the rules, whether or not you would adhere to the guidelines. Only you know whether or not you can be trusted out in public. And if I had the opportunity, I would absolutely go. And I think for one big reason, it would be a novelty, would it not? To be in a stadium during 2020, to be in an arena during 2020 when everything is different. I think it would be kind of cool to say, I went to a game in 2020. And I don't even know if that's possible, but I would go, and because I trust me. I know that I would be safe, that I would take every precaution. I won't tell you all the precautions, you know what they are. But I know that I would, and I would be willing to take that risk and to brave it, so to speak, so I could say that I was there. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And while you're perusing social media, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
JCP moving left. Still moving left. Mike. Dwight Howard for three. Why not? They're all going in. 117-92, 21 in the game for Dwight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. When I hear play-by-play, then I get excited. I feel this jolt of electricity run through me. It's because I'm partial to play-by-play, especially radio, since that's why I got into this business, and it's still my niche. It's my born niche, as in this is what I was born to do. So I really kind of do talk shows to support my play-by-play habit. I love play-by-play, and I prefer to listen to a good radio announcer for most sports even than to watching it on TV, because you don't feel like you're missing anything. And so that gets me jazzed up. Like, okay, let's get this started. I'm ready. I'm ready to get back to live events. And I dare say there is a countdown. I do have a countdown. As the baseball schedule came out, there's a doubleheader that is set for Thursday evening, July 23rd. I mean, it's not that far away, you guys. It is, in fact, 16 days. If you're counting Wednesday as a day, which of course I am, because we still have to live through it. In fact, some of us are still on our Tuesday nights. I generally tend to stay on Pacific time, if at all possible. It just makes more sense. And so we're inside of this window where it's okay to get excited. And yet I'm tempered in my excitement. I'm worried still. Well, it's not keeping me up nights like it is Adam Silver, no doubt. But still, I don't want to get too excited because it could still get postponed, canceled, called off. MLS is having all kinds of issues. Now, I don't think MLS has near the money that all these other leagues do to throw at the problem. And I also think that the backlash among peers will be far greater in the NBA or in Major League Baseball if, you know, this one person's responsible for bringing the virus into this bubble environment and boom, there's a contagious outbreak and all of a sudden things get shut down. I mean, you don't want to be the person that does that. Could you imagine? You might never work again. You might never play again if that's you. So there are jobs on the line, careers on the line here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Let's go to, oh, actually, you know what? I told you about the Adam Silver, and we've got the audio now. This was him just kind of musing and worrying out loud about the virus and the bubble to Fortune Brainstorm Health.
We won't be surprised when they first come down to Orlando if we have some additional players to test positive. What would be most concerning is once players enter this campus and then go through our quarantine period, then if they were to test positive or we were to have any positive tests, we would know we would have an issue. And so in terms of our level of confidence, again, when we set down this path in terms of coming back in Orlando, Florida was not experiencing case levels at the rate they are now, and Orange County, where Orlando is, was not. But on the other hand, we designed this campus environment so that we could be as protected as possible from the environment around us. So on paper and dealing with our experts, this should work, but we shall see. I'm confident based on the positive cases we're seeing from our players and the general public around the country that it will be safer on this campus than off this campus, in part because we're going to be doing daily testing. And incidentally, when our players are not playing, which is the vast majority of the time they're there, they will be observing physical distancing and wearing masks. So it's a very protected environment. But again, this virus has humbled many. And so I'm not going to express any higher level of confidence than we're following the protocols, and we hope it works as we designed it.
It's a good thing Adam Silver has already lost all his hair, whether by choice or just by nature, because he would be losing it all now. I mean, there would be none left. Chris could stand to lose a little hair. Wow, Zers. When was the last time you had a haircut?
Since before quarantine started.
I mean, obvi, but like, what do you have a date for that?
Yes, I do. It was the same week that the NBA shut down. I remember being in my barber's shop, and he actually stayed open one extra day than he was supposed to.
Ooh,
so a little on the down low. I got my hair cut around the corner of the barber shop. There was one rogue chair that they set up behind the wall, and I got my hair cut.
But you do know that it's possible to go get a haircut now, correct?
Growing out my hair for the first time ever in my life. I've never had
growing it out to where?
I've never had even semi-long hair before. I always keep it really short.
No. Wait a minute. You're growing long hair, like as in Amy Lawrence long hair?
No, not that. It won't be that long.
It won't look this good either. I'm just kidding. What? How long?
I don't know. Where she stops, nobody knows. I don't know.
What, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Learn something new about my producer every day. Okay, 855-2. That's interesting. 855-212-4227. Let's talk more about the NBA return with Crystal in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, I think if the Lakers win the championship this year, I think it solidifies LeBron as the GOAT. You know, he'd won one with three different teams. You know, he just makes it work wherever he goes. I mean, you look at when he left Cleveland the first time, they went from a 61 team to a 15-win team the following year with the exact same team. And then he leaves Miami. They
The exact same team without LeBron. It wasn't the exact same team.
No, they still had the core. I mean, Mo Williams and whoever the other scrubs were. And then you look at Miami, he leaves Miami this, you know, and they go from title contenders to, I think their best year was maybe like an eighth or seventh seed without him. And then he leaves Cleveland the second time, and they haven't even touched the postseason since. So,
I mean, he didn't make the postseason with the Lakers the first year either. And you forget in Miami, they also lost Chris Bosh. So that was another devastating blow. They didn't just lose LeBron James. Chris Bosh was unable to play really halfway through that next season because of the heart issues and was never able to get back. So, I mean, I appreciate your opinion. I think it's just a matter of opinion, right? It's a matter of how you interpret the hardware, how you interpret the stats, how you interpret the streaks, and how you look at it. And I also think it's a product of which era you grew up in, maybe which player was your introduction to superheroes in sports. And so that has a lot to do with it, too.
Well, another thing, too, is we look at Jordan's career, we just think, you know, it was just completely flawless. I mean, he couldn't get out of the first round, you know, his first 3 years in the league, and LeBron was already taking his team to the finals at age 22. You look at the finals opponents that Jordan's faced compared to LeBron. Okay, when LeBron beat OKC, three MVPs on that team. When they beat the Spurs, you had four Hall of Famers on that team. He beat a 73-win team. Oh, yeah, then they added Kevin Durant on that 73-win team. Jordan is not going 6-0 in this era. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. I mean, who did they beat? Oh, John Stockton and Karl Malone. Who was their third best player? Greg Ulster tag? Give me a break. okay, LeBron's had to, now don't get me wrong, the Eastern Conference was a lot tougher back then, but, you know, as far as finals opponents, Jordan wouldn't go 6-0 in this era. LeBron probably would have gone 9-0 in the
90s. Crystal, I appreciate your passion, but you have no way of backing that up. You have zero way of backing that up. You don't have any idea. I mean, Michael Jordan's game transcends eras the same as LeBron's would. Also, Kevin Durant was not on the team that that the Cavaliers came back against. So, and you're making it so one-dimensional. I mean, that's I think that's the wrong way, in my opinion, because I played basketball, because basketball's a team sport. I get it. One guy can make a huge difference, but Michael Jordan didn't play in a vacuum without other stars, and neither does LeBron James. And LeBron's not the one that hit the finals winning shot. It was Kyrie Irving. So there's a lot to pack into that. And I appreciate your passion, but I think it's an argument that has, which is why it continues to rage. It has no definitive answer. It has no right or wrong. It's really a matter of opinion, and there's no way to back up your claims that Jordan wouldn't have been 6-0 because there's no way to go back and recreate. So thank you for your phone call, and thank you for listening in Dallas. I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour. Now we're going to pivot a little bit about the NBA there, and you're also weighing in on our social media, but how about Major League Baseball's return? The schedule is out. We are now into a countdown here. What are the emotions for the athletes as they get ready? Nelson Figueroa, longtime baseball pitcher, now analyst, will join us straight ahead after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.